sincere hearts, to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the fourth chapter. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that anything of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth and heaven.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels.
Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens.
And you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For he commanded, and they were created.
And he established them forever and ever.
He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth.
You great sea creatures and all beasts.
Fire and hail, snow and mist.
Stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills.
Fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock.
Creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples.
Princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together.
Old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints.
For the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth and heaven.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. John, the first and second chapters. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him to proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text from John chapter 20. The other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is our text. It's not a question of whether or not you will live by faith. I'll say that again. It's not a question of whether or not you will live by faith. You simply don't have a choice. Everyone lives by faith of one kind or another.
Faith is a condition of life for us, and faith is also a learned response. You and I can't see and we can't know everything, and yet we've learned to live with that. We've learned to live with the unknowns, the uncertainties. We swing our legs over the edge of the bed each morning, and we trust that the ground will be there. I don't think you probably check first, although maybe some of us do. We've come to believe that certain things are true and are real, even though we can't explain them thoroughly, even though we haven't seen them, even though we don't know exactly how they work. In other words, you do and you will live by faith. The only question is which faith you will live by. What do you put your faith in? Whom do you trust? And these aren't questions that we get asked only once. These are, in fact, questions that we are confronted with every single day. Just think about the news that you listen to or the things that you hear. All day long, we are bombarded with the question of what will we believe and whom will we trust? Now, to say that we live by faith may seem like it contradicts popular ideas and opinions. The world likes to say, sometimes we may like to say, I'll believe it when I see it. That, of course, was Thomas's response as well. Seeing is believing, we're told. And that makes sense. Now, yes, we can probably all agree that there are some things that we maybe can't necessarily see that we still trust in. Gravity and the laws of physics and the inner workings of photosynthesis. But it's true that there are many things that we tend not to trust and believe in without first seeing. In particular, I think we have a difficult time believing and trusting in other people, other human beings. Distrust is a learned response to other people. You and I have learned to be skeptical of what other people say. We've learned not to trust their words. We've even learned not to trust their actions, at least not all the time. Too often we assume ulterior motives. We may accuse others of deception or manipulation. Yes, we live by faith, but no, we don't trust other people. Not very much, and for good reason. There are liars, there are hucksters, there are people who are really good at sleight of hand tricks. Some are master manipulators, and we know that all are sinners. As St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of poisonous snakes is under their lips. We have good reason not to trust other people. And that's the difficulty that Thomas had on that Easter week. He didn't trust the women who went to the tomb early in the morning. He didn't trust the two disciples who saw Jesus on the road to Emmaus. He didn't trust the other disciples to whom Jesus appeared on Easter Sunday evening. No, what Thomas did trust, the things that Thomas counted as real, were these: the warmth of blood, the chill of steel, the grain of wood, the heft of stone, the last frail twitch of flesh and bone. He counted death as real. Now, I would suggest that even that is a matter of faith, well-founded perhaps, but a matter of faith. Thomas believed that dead bodies stay dead. And I suppose it was for a good reason. He'd never seen a dead body come alive again. He'd never even heard of such a thing. Well, if you forget about Lazarus, and the widow of Nain's son, and Jairus' daughter, and a few accounts from the Old Testament, but other than those, he'd never seen it, and he'd never heard of it. Dead bodies stay dead. But isn't that also a matter of faith? He believed what his eyes told him. He believed what his reason said. He believed what his senses perceived. But his eyes hadn't seen everything. His reason didn't know all things. His senses are finite. Thomas hadn't investigated every death that had ever happened. He hadn't visited every tomb on earth to make sure that those dead bodies had stayed in the grave. And even if there'd never been a resurrection before, who's he to say that there never could be, now or in the future? Even if he knew with absolute certainty what had happened in the past, did that mean that he knew what would or could happen now or in the future? You see, even Thomas was living by faith that what his eyes and his reason and his senses told him was absolutely true, no exceptions. We say that we'll believe when we see it. But in the scriptures, Jesus makes the point that many who did see didn't believe. People who saw his miracles, people who had proof of his divinity, people who absolutely should have believed and you and I would give an arm and a leg to be in their place, they still refused. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke's gospel, Jesus points out that those who don't believe the scriptures, he says they are those who don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not even going to believe when a man comes back to them from the dead. And we know that's true. Jesus rose from the dead, and people still didn't believe. Already on Easter Sunday during the day, the Jewish leaders, the chief priests and others, were spreading lies about Jesus' body. They were saying that the disciples had stolen his body. It makes you wonder what Thomas believed about the empty tomb and the dead and the missing body. Because, of course, those were facts. The tomb is empty. The body can't be found. You have to believe something about that. I wonder if he believed maybe even a little bit what the chief priests had said, that some of the other apostles were pulling something over on him. I don't know. But what I do know is this, that Jesus came not only for those who believe without seeing, but he also came for those who are skeptics and doubters. He came for Thomas, the one who said he would absolutely refuse to believe, he would never believe until he had seen it with his own eyes. Jesus died for him, and Jesus rose for him, and Jesus came for him as well. And it happened like this. It was a week after Easter, the second Sunday of Easter. The disciples were together in the upper room with the doors locked. This time Thomas was there, and Jesus came right into that room, into the midst of them. The locked doors didn't stop him. The closed windows didn't keep him out. Their fear didn't keep him away. Jesus came into the midst and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he turns to Thomas in this absolutely beautiful scene of love and compassion for a doubting sheep. And he says, "Thomas, put your finger here where the nails had been. Put your hand into my side where the spear had been. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas did. By the very presence and the word of Jesus, he believed and he confessed, "My Lord and my God." No doubts now, no questions, no waffling back and forth, no believing what he'd heard from someone else. No, Thomas believes Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And he's talking there about you and me. We are those who have not seen Jesus risen from the dead, but we believe. We believe the apostles and what they tell us. We believe Thomas, who confessed him to be Lord and God. But most of all, we believe Jesus, who not only said that he would rise from the dead, but then did rise from the dead and showed himself over many weeks and to hundreds of people alive, in the body, risen from the dead. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that by believing you may have life in his name. What our Lord wants for you, what the apostles want for you, what the whole Christian church wants for you, is that you may believe in Christ and so have life in his name, that you may live by faith in him. In our second reading today, we heard the Apostle John speak about the things that he had heard and he had seen with his own eyes, the things that he had looked upon and touched with his own hands concerning the word of life. He's speaking about Jesus Christ, not only in his ministry before his death, but also in his resurrection on the third day. He testifies to us that he saw Jesus risen from the dead, that he touched him, and that he would stake his life on that. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that is you, and that is me. We may find it hard at times to believe. We may find it hard at times to trust what we hear from others, even perhaps to trust what we hear from the apostles. And yet we do, because Jesus has planted that faith in our hearts by his word, because he comes into our midst to renew and strengthen us with his presence in Holy Communion. We believe that he is risen from the dead. And we are those of whom it could be said, "I'll believe it, and then I'll see it." Thomas said, "I'll see and then I'll believe." We can say, "I'll believe and then I'll see." Because that is what it will be like for us. First we believe and then we see. First we live by faith and then we see that which our faith trusted and hoped in. And yes, we can sort of, you might say, see now by faith. But I'm not talking just about seeing by faith. I'm talking about seeing with our own eyes. We will see it with our eyes, in the flesh. As Job said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. My heart yearns within me." Job held to this hope, that though he had not yet seen his Redeemer with his own eyes, he believed that he would. And indeed, we believe that he does. And so we too, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, though we live now by faith, we are living toward sight. We are looking ahead to the day when we will see our Lord risen from the dead face to face. When the one whose word we hear, when the one whose absolution we receive, when the one whose body and blood is put into your mouth stands in front of you, we will see him with our own eyes. And there we will be joined with Thomas, who first saw and then believed, and we will be with him as those who believed first and then shall see. So now we walk by faith. You might say that every single day we are those who walk on water, but we walk on water knowing the one who made the water and the one who is in the water and the one who works through water. We live by faith, not in our own senses, not in what we see, not in simply what we perceive, not in our own reason, not simply in what we hear from others, but we live by faith in Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for us and is risen from the dead and now lives and reigns to all eternity. We walk by faith until we live by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who through holy baptism are adopted children in Christ, that they would always long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church on earth, that her ministers would faithfully pronounce the free forgiveness of sins to all repentant sinners, and so show forth the peace declared between God and man in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church in her works of mercy, that she would be united in the common life and love of our Savior, and so share that life and love with those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian parents, that the peace of the risen Christ and the forgiveness of sins would be freely shared in the home and so bind families together in love. For expectant mothers and their children, especially Mika Sharon, Joelle Brodmarkle, Jessica Pasco, and Celeste Brooks, and for the Gould family, especially that Jack and Mark would be blessed through the gift of holy baptism that they have received, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the authorities God has placed over us in federal, state, and local governments, that he would give them the desire to serve with integrity and honor and to work for the benefit of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and sorrowful, for those who mourn, and for all who stand in need of our prayers, especially Destiny, Carmen Pariseau, Mrs. Seawall, Diane Albert, Maura Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Anne Blaze, Jared Blaze, Pat Courtright, David Dexter, Kay Emmerich, Bobby Ewing, Rob Gogan, Jackie Gordon, Phyllis Hoffman, Janet Lorisella, and Gladys Stewart and her family, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, the Word of life, that forgiven of their sins, they may also have fellowship with God and one another, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace and for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word and through the Holy Sacraments establish our faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
thank you.
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.